I'm going to give a talk this morning, which I have entitled Shame, Healing, Wholeness, and Atonement. So, you know, I'm giving this talk because I think it's good for us to feel whole. It's good for us to heal and be involved in healing. The act of atonement is powerful and liberative. And shame is a very complex and deep part of the human condition. So, there are two, what I'm going to use in this talk, I'm going to talk about two very distinct definitions of shame, which cause confusion when talking about shame. So there's a very popular contemporary definition of shame that my guess is most people here would think is the definition of shame, or that's pretty common. I encounter people, this is what shame means. So the simple way of putting this is shame is the sense that one is fundamentally bad. So guilt is a feeling or a complex of feelings and thoughts that's where we think I did something bad or I've done something bad. And shame is the complex of thoughts and feelings that is I am bad. So shame is this corrosive, very reified, solid sense that the self is damaged. So that's a really powerful and useful framing that many of us are accustomed to. Interestingly, there's a very pervasive other definition of shame, and in particular in relation to guilt, that we find in Buddhist teachings and in Western psychology and cultural theories up until maybe the last 30 or 40 years. And in this formulation, shame is respect for public censure. So shame is the ability when someone or when the public thinks you have done something wrong to take it in and let that motivate you to do something beneficial, to make a change. Whereas guilt is an internal sense of wrongdoing. So the difference between shame and guilt is whether the process is principally internal or external. And there's some really powerful research that was very groundbreaking and influential by a woman named Ruth Benedict, a cultural anthropologist who, I went down the rabbit hole on Ruth Benedict researching this, but all I can say, she was a mentor to the great Margaret Mead and a pioneering woman academic up at Columbia. But anyway, she was really interested in how different cultures handle these two polarities of emphasizing a responsiveness. Oh my goodness. Now that's got to be embarrassing. I just feel a profound sense of beneficial shame when I realize I've left my phone on for this Dharma talk. Oh well. So, this second set of definitions for shame and guilt are actually the standard ways that you see them talked about in Buddhist literature. So, if you look at older Buddhist translations, they will translate these two often paired. Often paired things of shame in terms of public censure or internal guilt. They're atrapya is the public sense of shame, and hri is the internal sense. So you see them in many different Buddhist psychological systems, and those of you who studied Yogacara with me in the 11 beneficial mental factors in Yogacara's 30 verses on consciousness only, the second and third beneficial mental factors are atrapya and hri. So interestingly, if you look at old translations of Buddhist texts, you'll see this word shame as a beneficial factor. And everyone I know who uses the contemporary definition, oh, that's so weird, these Buddhists, what are they thinking? And it's like, well, they're thinking about it in a different way. Semantics matters a lot. So recognizing that when you're having a conversation with people and you're getting stuck, just pausing to say, are we using this word in different ways? And let's just find our definitions. It can make a huge difference in that conversation. So what's interesting about this to me is that the beneficial phenomena in Vasubandhu system that he just takes from other lists, he hasn't made it up. It's just he's using a common list. Faith, conscience, humility. So I translated with Wei Jianteng in my translation of the 30 verses, guilt or hri as conscience, the internal sense. And I was like, there's no way I can put shame in this and not confuse people at this point with the way people think about shame. So we use the word humility. There wasn't a great word to sum it up. But if you're looking at that text, you'll see conscience and humility. The thing is, most of the beneficial factors are really pleasant to experience. Equanimity, nonviolence, energy, carefulness, lack of aversion. It's like, oh, nice. And these two, that, in my experience, they don't feel that great. They don't feel that great. So when I have a pang of conscience and I feel I've done something wrong, it's like, I can't claim that I just love that experience, but it has been very helpful to me. It's been very beneficial. And likewise, being able, if someone comes and says, you know, you did something harmful, to take it in and acknowledge it and feel that, has been very, very beneficial. So one of the things that I'm kind of learning here is that beneficial mental factors in Buddhist psychology are not necessarily ones that are pleasant to feel. They are the ones that are conducive to healing, wholeness, and well-being. So, in dealing with this, and I'll return to this as I go through, but the most important component of our investigation of these, and what I would hope that this talk could point to, is a willingness and a interest in investigating our own embodied emotional experience of the things I'm talking about. So being able to sit and be like, oh, I feel this in my body. You know, it helps to do meditation practice, so we slow down. I feel this in my body, and this is kind of the emotional content of experience, and I'm having these kind of thoughts, and they're self-judgmental. Oh, so that's that attacking shame that's about how there's something fundamentally wrong with me. Or maybe just in that moment where someone says, you know, that really hurt my feelings, and you feel the blood rush to your face, and you feel your heart come up a little bit. You go, oh, yeah, this could be beneficial. I can let this in. I can experience this. So for your own personal investigation of mindfulness and body of emotion, which is the principal methodology for putting most of the teachings that you receive in this place into action. So I'm going to move on to the this kind of first and most contemporary definition of shame. So this idea, or this, it's a kind of a complex of ideas and feelings that there's something fundamentally wrong with me. I am bad or broken. And you may be like, oh, I know this inside and out. Generally speaking, most people that I talk to have some of this going on. Many people have a lot, and I cannot recommend enough an extensive course of therapy for just about anyone focused on healing shame, because it's so corrosive. I don't have time. I mean, really could give many, many talks about this. So I'm trying to mostly talk about this in relationship to beneficial shame, to create some air around it, but it's a much deeper topic than I can really get into generally. A lot of times shame is very